Tonight we're continuing in the book of Acts, and we're looking at the sermon that Peter preached in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, I would encourage you to really look and study that whole sermon from Peter. His heart for people, his command of the scripture, and his desire to promote the gospel of Jesus is phenomenal in that just short little passage. But you know, the biggest thing was just the response that he received. This response to the gospel after he shared it, there was this great response. After Peter had done his work to speak up, to promote Jesus, to point people to scripture as proof of God's plan at work, we see him wrapping up the response of people, and it is pretty powerful. I mean, if you haven't been seeing this, all of his sermon was pointing to the Bible, right? And pointing to God's redemptive plan to bring about salvation for everyone. It's a pretty brilliant sermon, really. And it's Pentecost, so the Jewish festival of harvest, and what was the day that God fulfilled his promise to send the Holy Spirit to be with us permanently. And he's now living in us and with us and will dwell in us forever. And the 120 disciples were together, and they heard the sound of a wind from heaven, saw flames of fire appear and rest on the disciples' heads. And they all spoke in other languages, specifically proclaiming the wonders of God. And thousands of people who were there as part of the festival heard it and saw it. And they were hearing them speak the wonders of God in all the different languages that were there. And that's a miraculous thing, how God turned fishermen, sinners, mamas, and tax collectors into preachers, right? And even doubters like Nathaniel, who said, nothing good can come from Nazareth. But so far, Peter has said many things. He defended against the critics who said that the disciples were drunk, saying it's only 9 a.m. That's absurd. Then he pointed to Joel chapter 2 and said that God had promised this for centuries and that his Holy Spirit would be poured out, and that men and women would preach and prophesy, and the old men, the old and the young, would be empowered to dream and have visions, and this is for everyone. He mentioned that this was always God's plan, that he planned it beforehand, and that everything God planned was centered on Jesus' death and resurrection, and that Jesus suffered death for us to overcome it for us so that we can have eternal life. And he quoted the Bible so many times, and he continues to do the same in the effort to keep promoting and preaching about Jesus. So he finishes his sermon in verse 32 and 33. He says, then Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourself are seeing and hearing. You have to remember that Peter had been defending this promise as an activity of God. The sending of the Holy Spirit and the fantastic signs that accompanied it, saying this was always God's plan. And more specifically, he puts Jesus' life, death, and resurrection right at the center of it all. And God raises Jesus from the dead, and everyone there was a witness to it. It's a powerful proof of the resurrection of Jesus, right? For centuries, people have tried to disprove that Jesus is God or that he actually was resurrected from the dead. But not only did the Bible say that he did, but every one of these 120 disciples saw him resurrected, and they testified that he did, and almost if not all of them went to their death claiming it to be true. Many were martyred because they never recanted their claim. This is actually pretty compelling, because the proof of his resurrection from the dead, if it was made up, someone would have cracked. Right? The saying, loose lips sink ships. If this was a hoax, somebody would have spilled the beans. Someone would have said, we just made it all up. So Jesus is resurrected, proving that he is God and that he did it for everyone. Peter's claim that he is seated at the right hand of God is a statement of power and authority. He is over everything now, and he has the power and authority over everything. That's why we pray to God and through the name of Jesus. This is This is a phrase that makes total sense to the Jewish audience. To be at the right hand of God is to be to have God's authority, which is what Jesus actually said in Matthew 28 when he said, "All authority in heaven and earth is mine, therefore you go." Further proving his point that Jesus is God and has all authority, he quotes Psalms 110, verse 1, when he says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit to the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." In verse 34, Acts chapter 2, verse 34, he says, "For David himself ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." He quotes Psalms 110:1. So in Psalms 110:1, if you look at it, we don't have it on the screen, but if you look at it, the first time that it says the Lord, Lord, the Lord part is in all caps. And he said to my Lord, which is in lowercase. And this second use of my Lord is David referring to a Messiah that would be seated next to God the Father. The first one where it said Lord in all caps in Hebrew text, especially the Old Testament, if you're reading through and you see it where it's in all caps like that, that's Yahweh. They didn't actually speak that. That was the highest form and authority of God that they could write, and they wouldn't even speak the word. But that was to point that this was God said to my Lord, the Messiah. David is referring to that he would be seated next to God the Father. It's this reference for Peter to reference Psalms 110 was brilliant because Jewish people knew the Psalms, and they absolutely knew Psalm 110 as a psalm about the promised Messiah who would come and rule and sit with all authority over all. And Peter is telling his audience that this Jesus is my Lord, that the Lord God seats beside himself with all power and authority. He is absolutely making much of Jesus right here, and so should we. Jesus has all authority for all time, seated with God the Father and overseeing everything, even his enemies, which we would be anyone who doesn't follow him to surrender to him. Verse 36 says, "So let everyone in Israel know for a certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah." Jesus is over all as Lord of all. He's the boss, the master, and God. This use of the word Lord is divine. He's saying that Jesus is God. He is the Lord in all caps, and he is the Christ, which is the messianic term for Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer, and the one who comes to save the whole world. I don't even know if we have fully realized how good God is. To give us Jesus, he is overall, he is God, he is Master, he is our Savior, he is good. Why don't we tell more people about him? Let all the house of Israel know this for certain, that God has done this. He is so good. Verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other disciples, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is what you got to do. And the response to this, for a number of reasons. First of all, Peter did such an amazing job of not sharing his opinions, but speaking the truth. He pointed people to God's word, and he pointed people to Jesus. And the response was amazing. They didn't respond like this when people spoke in tongues or when the wind and the fire came. The miraculous didn't cause this reaction. The preached word caused the response. Now, in no way am I disregarding the miraculous power of God and the gifts of the Spirit, but people are changed by the gospel, not by miracles. I'm challenged. But the gospel is what changes them, but the miracle is what got their attention. We got to remember that. They didn't just all come stand around because Peter was up there preaching on a box. They all came and stood around because they heard something And they heard the miraculous matter of all these people speaking in tongues and speaking in their languages. And it could have been that every single one of them was speaking the same language, multiple languages, at the same time. But each one of them was saying something different about the gospel in that language. That was what drew them. But the gospel is what they reacted to and responded to. I'm challenged because I ask myself, what about my life? What about me gets that kind of reaction out of people? What do I say? How do I live so that people are moved towards life change and surrender to Jesus? Peter literally preached his first sermon ever. Wasn't a trained preacher, just knew Jesus and quoted some verses, and people responded with being cut to the heart or deeply convicted, and they ask, what's next? What do we do with this? This is how we should live our lives, right? We are commissioned by Jesus himself to share the good news of the gospel. People in your job, your neighborhood, your family, they should hear the good news because of you. And can you imagine if people started asking you, okay, what's next? I see your life. I hear you talk about Jesus. I hear you talk about it all the time. What must I do to follow this Jesus? The gospel changes people. And it doesn't just change their minds or their thinking, it changes their hearts. What was Peter's response? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the response. It's very direct and not that complicated. We've made this complicated because we've tried to make it a formula. Look, here's what you tell people. This is what you pray. This is how you do it. And we made this complicated formula, right? Well, you got to repent. Repent of your former way of life. Turn from sin and turn to God. That's pretty easy. Be baptized. That means come into the family of God. Follow Jesus. Give him your life. And the water baptism part, especially then, was a very public expression of giving yourself to a faith system. Think of it like this. It was a graduation ceremony, so everyone was seeing what you were doing, a public expression into something. That's what baptism is. This verse has confused people because they think being baptized in Jesus' name is the formula for the baptism. But Jesus is the formula, not what you say. The water and the words are not the formula. Jesus is the formula. Being baptized in the name of Jesus is another way of saying be water baptized into the faith, and we will know that that's the way of life that Jesus teaches. It's not a formula. It's not just because you got in the water, you're good forever. I mean, I get in the water every day, right? It doesn't mean anything unless it's turning right here, the formula of the heart. It's the formula of the heart, but it's the public profession. It's important to make that public profession. It's important to do that. It's important for people around you to know. One of the things that helps people do is say, okay, now let's walk beside that person. Number three, receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Repent, turn to God, be baptized, initiate in the family of Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit into your life to lead you and dwell in you to this. Peter's saying, go all in. Go all in. Go all in. This gospel is for everyone. Verse 39, he says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter makes this so big, right? The promise of salvation is for all people. This is the promise of God. From throughout the Bible, the promise of God is to save people, to gift them the Holy Spirit. It is for everyone. And remember, his audience, the devout Jews, were there for Pentecost festival. They were there for the first to hear this. And Peter is making sure they know that this is for them and their kids. But it's also for all who are far off. That's you and me. The promise of salvation of the Holy and of the Holy Spirit living in us, and the promise of Jesus forgiving our sins is for all of us. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, that is everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." For all. Everyone. Not just a few. Not just you. Not just me. Everyone. All. A-L-L, all. This is how God changes the world. In verse 40, he says, "And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." This is absolutely amazing. And absolutely the plan of God. The normal people, like Peter, the fisherman, became committed to following Jesus as Lord. They embrace a spirit-filled way of life. That is a life that follows Jesus as Lord and depends on the Spirit of God to fill us and direct us every day, and we become the vessels by which God gets his message out to people. Look, people listened to Peter, but they responded to Jesus. They got saved. Their lives were radically different forever. 3,000 souls. According to some scholars, this suggests that it was just 3,000 men. First century was male-centric. They would only count the men. And it assumes that their wives and children were saved too, and that number could actually have been quite larger, probably in the 5,000 to 6,000 to 7,000 people range. Yeah, it's just the men. Even if it was, that's 3,000 people. And guess what? They went home, and they didn't keep it to themselves. Peter was faithful to preach the Bible, to dispel bad theology, to point people to the finished work of Jesus on the cross, to tell people that God has done all of this for them, for their kids and grandkids, and for everyone. What an amazing gospel this really is. And the response was thousands. Respond to this incredible gospel. Thousands. Jesus said this sort of thing would happen. Because he said that we would do greater things than he ever did. And on day one, Peter led more people to salvation in Jesus than Jesus did in the Gospels. So let's ask some questions. What if we lived out our faith in Jesus with such incredible passion and conviction like Peter did? What do you imagine could happen in your workplace or in your family or in your neighborhood or with your friends online? Rather than sigh at the reality that many of those we are close to aren't there, what if we started studying Scripture so that we would be filled with God's Word and have a knowledge of God's will and ways based on God's word so that we could share with them? What if we would ask God to use us like Peter did in Acts chapter 2? The truth is, the thousands who came to faith that day, that were baptized may have never come to faith in Jesus if Peter didn't step up and said what he said. I actually believe that God wants to save you, to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to fill you with His Holy Word. And I actually believe that God wants to use you in the same way that God used Peter that day. I believe that God wants to use you to reach the people around you. He wants to use you to reach your coworkers, to reach your buddies who come and sit around and talk to you, to reach your people that you eat lunch with, to reach your family that's unsaved. But sometimes it takes us opening our mouths and not berating them, not beating it over their head. Live the life. Don't live a double life. I could go further, but I won't. Will you yield yourself to God like this? Will you grow in your love for God and His Word and grow in your willingness to be used by God like this? God used Peter to change his world that day. God wants to use you to change the world you live in as well. The gospel is still the good news. The gospel is still true. The gospel is still changing lives. And this gospel is for everyone. This gospel is yours to tell. Are we willing? Are we willing? Ask everyone in the wood to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for Peter's word. I thank you for that Peter came and stood and preached the gospel. Lord, I thank you for showing us how it's done. Lord, that he didn't make up things. He didn't go the long way, Lord. He just preached your word. Scripture. Preaching Scripture. And the response, Lord, that was made that day. Help us that when people say, what's next, help us to be able to point them to this right here. To repent. To publicly join a family of faith. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you help us today. Help us to be bold like Peter. Maybe you're in here tonight and you're not where you need to be with God. You don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you've never ask Him to become the Lord of your life. And tonight, you desire to ask Him to do that. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. But maybe you're here and you say, I just want the boldness of Peter. I want to be able to share with my friends and my coworkers and my family. I want to have the boldness to stand and proclaim the gospel. We're about to have a holiday where families are going to get together. Will you be bold enough to proclaim the gospel to your family and to tell them your testimony of how He's changed your life? You say, I want to do that. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray. I want to believe with you. And not only do I want to pray and believe with you, but I want you to tell me what happens when you do this. Lord, we just thank you right now. We thank you right now. Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, I pray that you help us to be that witness, to stand up and preach the gospel, Lord, so that their lives will be changed. Let us live it out in front of them. We just thank you. We praise you. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.